Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Paradeep Phosphates Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Riju Dalui from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, a warm welcome to all the participants on the call of Paradeep Phosphates. Today, from the management side, we have Mr. Rajeev Nambiar, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Harshdeep Singh, Chief Commercial Officer, Mr. Bijay Kumar Biswal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Alok Saxena, Head Corporate Finance, and Mr. Susnato Lahiri, DGM, Strategy, IR, and ESG on the call. Without any further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Nambiar for his opening remarks, post which we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Riju. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Paradeep Phosphates Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued interest in Paradeep Phosphates. I trust you have reviewed our earnings presentations and press release, which are also available on our website and with the stock exchanges. The fertilizer sector began FY26 on a solid footing, supported by favorable monsoon patterns, healthy reservoir levels, and government initiatives to promote soil health and balanced nutrient applications. With this backdrop, Paradeep Phosphates delivered a strong start to the fiscal year through operational discipline and execution strength, capitalizing on sustained demand for phosphatic fertilizers. For the first quarter, revenue from operations rose 58% YoY to 3,754 crores. EBITDA, including other income, nearly doubled to 493 crores, while profit before tax increased to 342 crores. Profit after tax reached a level of 256 crores, driven by higher production and sales volumes, strong sales velocity, and improved product mix, backward integration, and strategic sourcing. Operationally, fertilizers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been disconnected. Please be on hold while we reconnect them. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been reconnected. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Operationally, we produced 6.64 lakh tons of finished fertilizers, up 23% year-on-year, and achieved primary sales of 7.42 lakh tons, a 34% increase over the same period last year. Our product portfolio included diverse NPK grades in addition to DAP. Our flagship N20 grade maintained strong momentum, delivering sales of 2.24 lakh tons. We also sold nearly 7 lakh bottles of our indigenously developed biogenic nano fertilizers during the quarter, underscoring their role in enhancing nutrient absorption and improving farm yield. On the intermediary front, phosphoric acid production grew 22% year-on-year to  113,000 tons, while sulfuric acid output increased 30% to 283,000 tons, further strengthening our integrated operations. We maintained a healthy net-to-debt-equity ratio of 0.77 times, continue to operate with a lean cash conversion cycle, and leverage our supply relationship and captive infrastructure to secure raw materials at competitive costs despite elevated input prices. Progress on our strategic growth projects also continued as planned. The sulfuric acid capacity expansion Paradeep from 1.39 million tons per annum to 2 million tons is on schedule for commissioning by the third quarter of this fiscal year. The phosphoric acid expansion, which will raise capacity from 0.5 million to 0.7 million tons annum, is progressing well and is expected to be completed within the next 2 years. Additionally, our proposed merger with Mangalore Chemicals and Fertilizers, which received shareholder approval in June, is advancing through the final stages of the NCLT process. Upon completion, this will enhance our scale and market reach. We intend to announce our further CapEx and growth plans following the conclusion of the merger process. Looking ahead, we remain confident of sustaining our momentum through FY26, supported by above-normal monsoon forecast, stable subsidy disbursements, and increasing demand for value added and soil specific fertilizers. With our integrated supply chain, flexible production capabilities, pan India distribution network and established brand equity, Paradeep Phosphates is well positioned to deliver consistent growth and long term value for all the stakeholders. Thank you once again for joining us today and for your continued trust in Paradeep Phosphates. I will now be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on great financial performance. While you have mentioned in the opening remark, but if you can elaborate further as to what drove this extraordinary growth in EBITDA.
Thank you, Prashant. I think if you look at it, actually our production volumes jumped up and early onset of monsoons, and which is actually aided in terms of increased sales volume. If you look at it, we have an increase of sales volume plus 30% compared to year-over-year. And the product mix also helped us in terms of optimizing whatever resources we have in terms of converting to EBITDA levels. And our backward integration programs, which are going on, are sort of well. Phosphoric acid, 0.5 million, we could actually completely make the target clear. And the further expansions also will drive our future things.
Sure. So between the three levers of high volume growth, backward integration benefit, and maybe some inventory gains, how was the contribution of all three?
Good morning, this is Harshdeep here. So if you look at it, dominantly the volume growth of 34% significantly contributed to the growth in the revenue and the bottom line. The further thing was, even with the combination of what Rajeev was saying, the benefit because of backward integration and the market realization. See, in line with the market requirement, we could take a realistic pricing for our NPK grades, which resulted in a revenue growth higher than the volume growth. So that's what helped us really get good EBITDA in the first quarter.
So how much price increase have you taken?
So currently, like the complex fertilizers, like 10-26-26, they've been in the range of 1850 to 1900 rupees a bag. If you remember, they used to be earlier capped at around 1470 rupees a bag.
Right. Okay. And sir, Paradeep's view is very well respected within the government circle. So what would be your view as a company on the trajectory of subsidy for H2?
Prashant, we can't comment on this right now. We will have to wait till we have the government notification out.
Okay.
And Prashant, you are familiar with the process which the government follows. Okay, they typically tend to look at the cost curve from Jan to June. Okay, and that should be in the right direction.
Yeah, and just adding, I think we have been getting a good regulatory support, and we see that will continue for the benefit.
Sure. Okay, I'll jump back to the queue. I have some more questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ahmed Madha from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on great execution and financial performance. So I have three questions. First, to start with, in terms of understanding the strategy behind the mix, I can see the traded volumes this quarter have been much lower, while we have manufactured a decent amount of DAP. So in terms of changing the mix, in terms of increasing DAP trading and manufacturing more NPK, what is the thinking behind the entire product mix and mix between the trading manufacturing, and also any thoughts creating more TSP as well as DAP?
Yeah, good morning, Harshdeep here. See, the strategy is to maximize the NPKs, that is as far as our manufacturing strategy is concerned, and we are moving well in that respect. Our quarter one growth for NPKs has been 48% compared to the regular portfolio growth of 35%. So that direction, we continue that. Trading, we are going to look at supporting the market strategically, and we will be doing both DAP and TSP in the Q2, because arrivals would happen. But the objective will be to do profitable trading volumes. So that's how our overall core strategy is.
Got it, sir. My second question is on the increase in RM prices. The sulfur prices have been up materially, and same as with phosphate prices. I'm not sure how the rock prices are moving for you guys, considering you have long-term contracts. But do you see any material change in profitability margins for the balance of Kharif season? I understand your answer to Prashant that you cannot comment for the next Rabi because the subsidy has to be announced, but for the balance of the Kharif season, do you see any major risk in terms of margins?
These prices have been actually going up, and we see some of the area now a little softening. Maybe I think it is a certain area it is peaked out, but I think sulfur it is showing some little softening. Other things remain little on the growing side only. But I think counter this, if you look at it actually, our operation efficiency has actually been quite stronger actually. And in Q2, probably I think Q1 we have taken most of the shutdowns and other things. So Q2 in terms of operation efficiency, ability to produce should be much better than Q1. And overall, if you look at it, the early monsoons and availability of more crop area, all those things basically facilitates our Q2. But there is definitely the RM prices are a concern for all of us. But we'll see what best can be done actually to mitigate this.
Okay, got it. My third question is on the inventory channel positioning. So can you give some broad numbers? What was our channel inventory as of Q1 end, which is June 25? And comparable numbers for Q4 25 and Q1 25, which is March 25 and June 24. That will be very helpful.
Bijoy, could you take this call?
Yeah, you know, hi. Good morning. You know, this is BK Biswal, you know, from, you know, PPL. So the inventory level, you know, has decreased, you know, because of the stock, you know, we have purchased, you know, towards the tag end of this quarter. The inventory level, you know, if you compare to 31st March 25, so this has gone up. So this is, you know, around 1,000 crore has gone up. And, you know, even the subsidy receivable also gone up. So that is mainly on account of the POS which has been accumulated and which will get the liquidated in this coming, you know, this current season. But, you know, this inventory level, yeah, it has gone up.
Can you quantify what
I'll just clarify on the quantified value, Harshdeep here. See, if you look at last quarter, as across trade and primary stocks, we were almost 10.9 lakh metric ton, which has come down to 7.2 lakh metric ton as on 30th of June 2025. So the company stocks, the primary stocks are down from 1.4 lakh metric ton to 80,000 metric ton. And the trade stocks are down from 9.5 lakh metric ton to 6.4 lakh metric ton. So overall, trade stocks compared to last year's same level, 30th of June, they are on the lower side.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, please limit to 2 questions per participant and rejoin the queue for the follow-up question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Oza from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just one question on the PPT. So on page number 7, it is shown that N20 sales have grown at 45% YOY. And on page 11, it is mentioned that N20 sales grew by 89% YOY. So which figure is correct?
Yeah. See, the sales of N20 sales are 2.24 lakh metric ton. Okay. And last year sales was 1.55 lakh metric ton. There's a 45% growth in primary sales vis-a-vis last year.
Okay, and sir, that page number 11, it's mentioned N20 sales grew by 89%.
No, I think, you know, we kind of stand corrected. It is 45%. But in terms of the overall NPK portfolio, it's about 60% of the entire product mix.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puran Mangilal Tak from Oral Capital Services. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, and thank you for giving me opportunity. I just wanted to understand the unit economics of phosphoric acid production for the Paradeep. So just three questions. What is the conversion ratio for our phosphoric acid, that is phosphate rock to phosphoric acid, sulfuric acid to phosphoric acid, and sulfur to sulfuric acid? Am I audible, sir?
Can you repeat?
Okay. So I had three questions. First is phosphate rock to phosphoric acid, sulfuric acid to phosphoric acid, and third one is sulfur to sulfuric acid for the Paradeep.
The conversion rate is, you know, for the, each ton of phosphoric acid we consume 3.2 to 3.5 metric ton of rock. And with regard to phosphoric acid to sulfur, it is one third of the sulfuric acid production we consume as a rock.
Sorry to interrupt. Mr. Puran, your... Sir, the man...
Hello.
The audio from the management line is, seems to be distant. Can you come closer to the device?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Sir, it's very distant.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I am saying that for the phosphoric acid is, you know, 3.5 times, you know, for each ton of phosphoric acid, we consume 3.2 to 3.5 ton of rock. And sulfuric acid to sulfur, it is one third. So for each ton of sulfuric acid, we consume one third of the rock, you know, sulfur. And what is the last question?
Sulfur to sulfuric acid.
Sulfur to sulfuric acid. That's what I'm saying, no? That, you know, for each sulfuric acid, we consume, you know, one third of the sulfur.
Okay. And what is the... what is the for sulfuric acid to phosphoric acid? Like how much we require sulfuric acid for phosphoric acid production?
3.2 times of the phosphoric acid. For each ton of phosphoric acid, we require 3.2 to 3.5 tons of sulfuric acid.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good afternoon and congratulations on a spectacular set of results. If you look at the current quarter and the remaining 9 months, how should we see the performance? Will we be able to maintain the EBITDA per ton and improve that based on the backward integration benefits, particularly in phosphoric acid where the contract prices have gone up?
No, so I can put this one, you know, this way that, you know, right now for this quarter, we have a little bit higher EBITDA per ton. But going forward, as per our guidance, you know, it will be around 5,000, you know, rupees per metric ton of, you know, in around that will be the, you know, EBITDA what we'll be maintaining for the rest of the quarter. Rest of the
we always believe that the sustainable EBITDA number that we have for a company like us with the kind of backward integration that we have, is around 5,000, and we continue to maintain that view. But directionally, with the kind of operational reliability improvements that we have embarked on, the kind of backward integration that we are doing and the market interventions that we are doing, obviously we would like, directionally we are in the right direction, but the sustainable number as we speak today is around 5,000 number.
Yeah. In this first quarter, what would be the benefit from the backward integration we can quantify per ton?
Well, it will be difficult for us to quantify, you know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, it's a combination of three, four factors driven by higher realizations, you know, higher volumes of production and sales, as well as backward integration. But we won't be able to give you a quantified number for backward integration.
So if you look at the longer term, big picture, sulfuric acid expansion, phosphoric acid expansion, once everything is done, what is the benefit you expect from these projects in terms of backward integration?
In the long term, you should assume that whenever the backward integration gets into in the picture, there is always a $50 captive advantage vis-a-vis imported phosphate per ton. So that will reflect into your EBITDA improvement.
That is taking both sulfuric acid, phosphoric acid, and the benefit of steam. Everything put together, right?
Yes.
So just one last thought. So if you look at your overall balance sheet, what is the kind of increase in working capital, and what is the kind of movement in debt you expect this year and next year?
No, I'll tell you that, this year the working capital is similar to the last year, the 31st March closing. It has not gone high. And, this long term we have got around 1,000 crore, we'll be maintaining that one, provided whatever we repay and, face load we take, but our guidance is that, it will be around 1,000 crore.
So this current trend in interest cost reduction, that will be sustained, or do you see any risk of that interest cost going up over the next 2 years?
No, I think we have got this reduction of the repo rate and other thing has really impacted positively, and as and when there will be reduction by the RBI, we negotiate with the banks and get this rate reduced. So we are quite hopeful that in case there is any reduction by the RBI, that benefit will accrue to us.
Thank you very much, and I'll join the queue. Wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishan Parwani from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers, and thanks for taking my question. Firstly, can you please highlight the MRP and subsidy realization of DAP and NPK 20 in 1Q FY26 and July 25 again?
During this quarter, we have the subsidy realized of around 1,500 crore and, market less of around 2,000 crore, which is what we have sold, everything has been, converted. The subsidy and we have realized it.
And okay. Just to add to your specific point on the MRP for DAP currently is 1350 rupees a bag. TSP is 1300 rupees a bag. And for the NPK, the range is from 1400 to 1915 rupees a bag. So depending on the grades that we're doing. And we retain leadership as far as market is concerned on the price realization.
And on the follow-up on that, how much per bag MRP you have taken increase from the last quarter?
Yeah, so specific grades, if you look at it, for example, NPKs, N10, N12, the average per bag realization was 1470 rupees a bag. Currently, it is around 1850 to 1900 rupees a bag.
Okay, and that continues in July also.
Yes, continue means it's a part of the process. We review our cost curve and we look at what's the best from the market optimization point of view. So that's how we look at it. So we already clarified the guidance on the EBITDA. So that's what the intention is, to maintain that, grow that.
Okay, and government isn't stopping you from taking MRP increase? Because
yeah,
I think...
The DOF policy is clear on the NPK. On the DAP and TSP, they expect us to keep the MRP as per the guidance. However, for NPKs, there is no restriction from the government.
Okay. Secondly, we have reported 6.5 rupees per ton of kg EBITDA, while our targeted EBITDA, I think you reiterated around 5 rupees a kg, or let's say 5,000 per ton. So is it fair to say, there has been kind of an inventory gain of 120-150 crore during the quarter, taking incremental 1.5 rupee per kg for 7.5 lakh ton sales volume?
That's not the way to capture that. It's a combination of factors. Mm-hmm. That's what we have clarified.
Also, the current inventory situation's volatility needs to be kept in mind.
That I understand, but could you quantify the inventory gain you could have had in the first quarter?
Clarify before we quantify that. See, the product mix did not have any traded volumes. So once the traded volumes set in, there is some normalization of the EBITDA which happens. And first quarter was pure manufacturing volumes. So that's how you look at the situation.
Okay. Okay. And lastly, you were running at almost 95% utilization in 1Q.
So sorry to interrupt, but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchal from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Sir, one data point in case I missed earlier is what is the subsidy outstanding for the quarter end?
The subsidy outstanding is 2,200 crores.
2,200 crores. And sir, is it possible to share what was the volumes with the dealers or distributors as at the end of last quarter, I mean Q4, inventory of your products with the dealers?
So
at the end of Q4.
The volume and now, of seller and retailers was 6.7 lakh metric ton. That's trade, so total volume 9.5 lakh metric ton. Wholesalers plus retailers. This year the inventory is lower and it is around 6.4.
Sorry, your voice was breaking. Last quarter was and this quarter is?
Last quarter was around 9.5 lakh metric ton. And this quarter is 6.5 lakh metric ton.
6.5. Got it. This is the inventory with dealers, distributors, everyone in the system.
Yes, this is your product. This does not include the primary inventory which the company holds. Which is also lower compared to the last quarter. That's around 80,000 tons this quarter.
Right. Perfect. This is helpful, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Riju Dalui. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, great set. Congrats for great set of numbers. So in terms of some bookkeeping question, so how much we make in terms of EBITDA per ton for the DAP this quarter?
So generally we don't give a guidance or we don't say that what is that per ton of product wise. What we can say that this quarter we have around EBITDA of around 6,600 rupees per metric ton on overall basis.
Understood, sir. And in terms of, we have seen some, increase in the RM prices from Q4. So if you could share some kind of a view about the inventory gain that we have reported this quarter, if it is possible.
Can you repeat the question again?
So what's the difference in inventory gain in 1Q, if you could, quantify that?
Regarding the subsidy impact already that has been factored in 31st March 2025. So that, impact has already been considered and whatever the we have been, taken this, inventory at cost, now that has been realized that, because of the MRP increase. You can quantify that.
Understood, sir. And regarding the CAPEX projects that we have, so in PPT page 11, we have mentioned that the upcoming phosphoric acid backward integration, so that will be beyond the Paradeep site. So is it can we assume that the Paradeep site is 100% backward integrated and the upcoming CAPEX will support the Goa plant in terms of backward integration?
So far, whatever we announced, basically it is for Paradeep only. So you can take it actually, the backward integration is now concentrated on Paradeep.
At least, as we said earlier, that after the ongoing merger process of MCFL is closed, then we will get into more detailing of the next investment plan. But as of now, the 0.5 to 0.7 expansion is coming for Paradeep.
Yeah, so that is for Paradeep, but in the PP2 we have mentioned that this will support beyond the Paradip plant or Paradip site.
Riju, if you look at
whatever excess, you know, phosphoric acid out of this 2 lakh metric ton what we are increasing, if that is available, then definitely that, you know, will support, you know, this our Goa plant or Mangalore plant, you know, going forward.
Okay. Okay, understood, sir. So if the current capacities in terms of phosphoric acid and the sulfur to sulfuric acid of the Paradip plant, we have 1.8 million metric ton of capacity. So how much that plant is backward integrated? Is it 80%, 90%, or 100%? If you could quantify that.
Right. On a thumb rule.
95%, you know, we are backward integrated.
Okay.
So, Riju, on a thumb rule basis, you know, typically 30% of the capacity should be backward integrated. So, right now, we're kind of, you know, as the CFO mentioned, we are about 95% on. Once we reach a 7 lakh tons, we know we will actually be in excess of 100%, and that incremental can be then transferred to the other size that we have.
Okay. Understood. Yeah. And one last question. So yesterday MCFL announced some kind of a capex, roughly around 6% kind of a capex for the NPK integrated with this phosphoric acid capacity expansion. So if you could highlight something like this new capex that announced by the MCFL. So will this be a standalone capex for MCFL or like post merger will have a combined capacity addition for MCFL and for other sites?
On a note, improper for us to actually comment on MCFL currently, but once the merger is done, actually, we'll definitely get back to you.
Understood, sir. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on great set of numbers. So my two questions from my side. My first question would be procurement of sulfur. Is it more like a yearly contract that is set? And is there a pattern of revision of prices when it comes to that? And second question is on procurement of DAP. There is clearly some shortfall in DAP as per the industry commentary, right? Mainly because of import from China. So wanted to understand what is our strategy and where are the other sources we are looking to procure that DAP for trading?
No, regarding sulfur, you know, the contract is a yearly basis, you know, long-term contract, you know, in case there is any shortfall, we go, you know, we purchase a spot market, you know, based on this price, you know, viability and other things. But regarding DAP, I think Harshdeep can tell, you know, regarding the, you know, DAP procurement.
Hello. Yeah, see, the DAP, typically what we are doing currently, we are buying dominantly from OCP as a part of a long-term contract, and that is driven by a formula pricing for both DAP and TSP.
The pricing of sulfur, it is a long-term contract, but is there a reset on pricing every 15 days or every month?
This follows this price, you know, this price declared by the, you know, international market. So even though the quantity, the long-term contract is for the quantity assurance.
So it's the to clarify, most of the long-term contracts are governed by formula, and every formula is actually linked to the current market dynamics. So as and when there is a swing upward or downward on of the prices internationally in the commodity markets, you know, we reflect on our pricing.
Right. Just one last question to this. So would it be fair to assume that since the spread has improved between sulfuric and sulfur, we might see some gains coming to us in quarter two?
No, the gains have already been coming. If you look at the prices, you know, the spread has actually been there for the last few quarters. So we are realizing the prices, and as and when, you know, the spread kind of, you know, improves or you know, reduces, you know, we'll you know, stand to kind of gain accordingly.
Correct, sir. Thank you. Thank you, sir, and all the best for the rest of the year.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saumil Shah from Paras Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on a number. Most of my questions were answered.
Sorry to interrupt. Hello? Mr. Saumil, your voice is breaking.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
No, it's still breaking.
Hello? Yeah, can you hear me? So most of my questions were answered. I just had one data keeping question. I needed some clarity on the post-merger shareholding in promoter category.
Sorry, your voice is not clear.
Hello.
Saumil, your voice is breaking again.
Oh, okay. So no, maybe some network issue. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So I just needed some clarity on the shareholding in promoter category. So for notification, it will be 58.64% held by the promoters. Is my understanding right?
So after the merger, the controlling entity of PPL, which is Zuari Morak Phosphate Limited, will hold more than 51%.
Okay, and the rest will be by Zuari Agro and Industries and others.
Yes, that together will be around 7%. So you're right, 58% will be the collective promoter holding after the merger.
Okay, and ZMBPL will be a 50-50 joint venture, no?
Yes,
it will continue that way.
Yes.
Okay.
So the control ZMBPL.
Okay, right, understood. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shorya Punyani from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible? Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yes, Shorya, go ahead, please.
I think this year, the first quarter was very good in terms of volume. So what kind of growth can we expect in terms of volume?
No, see, this past quarter we sold around, 7 lakh ton, I think, by the year end we'll have what we projected, million ton in that will be selling, manufacturing as well as trading product.
Your voice broke. Can you repeat?
So we are saying now we have established capacity of 2.7, 2.8 million ton, and we expect to deliver those volumes.
2.7.
So we are targeting about 3.1 million tons, and this should actually include a bit of trading as well. And once the MCFL merger is complete, that will kind of get us another additionally 7 lakh tons.
Okay, 7 lakhs. Okay, sir. And so at what utilization are we operating? Can you repeat it?
We are close to 100% utilization at the moment, and we will try to maintain this kind of utilization levels, throughout FY26.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Mukherjee from SKP Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. Can you share the CU volume and EBITDA per ton for Paradip and Goa separately for the NPKs?
So generally what we already mentioned that, we don't give these numbers on a, unit basis. As a whole company, what is reflected is around 6,600 rupees, on an overall product for this quarter. And the volume what is sold is around 7.4 lakh.
All right, sir. Sir, my next question is, how are you seeing the TSP as a substitute to DAP, DAP, and what are the challenges of this product?
So, we are positioning TSP as a powerful phosphate fertilizer with 46% P, and we have found good traction. We have been doing a lot of groundwork in terms of promoting it among the farmers. We see it a good acceptance happening with farmers where the awareness level is high, like potato farmers in Punjab, soybean farmers in Madhya Pradesh and Maharashtra. So the product has been introduced in almost 10 states currently. It's a product which is gaining acceptance. However, based on the soil and the crop, part of the nitrogen could be supplemented by the farmer. But we see it as a good, powerful phosphate fertilizer. And from a sustainability dimension also, it's something which is good because you're preventing overuse of nitrogen.
Are you producing
manufacturing product? No, we're currently importing the product from OCP Morocco.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. A couple of questions. One, in terms of phosphoric acid and DAP and the rock value chain, right? It is a couple of quarters we are seeing the phosphoric acid and DAP price are going up. It's been, I think, 5 or 6 quarters. However, rock price are still at a lower level. So any specific reason rock price are not going up or in tandem with the phosphoric acid and DAP? Because historically, if you look at the cycle last 15-20 years, right, so the rock price always follows phosphoric acid and DAP. Any specific reason this time is not following?
Yeah, no, just to kind of give you a clarity here, see, while rock prices will follow the overall direction as far as phosphates is concerned, but there is not a one-to-one correlation. The DAP is a purely demand kind of supply-linked commodity. And currently, because the inventory levels in the country are low, so you're finding typically the prices have moved up significantly. Okay. However, rock, the sources are multiple and the import pattern is different. There are not too many players buying rock today. Vis-a-vis DAP, which everybody wants to build up the inventory to ensure that the farmers get the availability of the material. And this year, China has not been on the supplier side as far as DAP is concerned, which has pushed up the prices.
Right. But what you're talking about, it's a more of an Indian situation, right? Globally, I think DAP and phosphoric acid prices are still up. So basically, rock has to follow the prices, right?
Yeah. So it will follow, the pace will not be the same as with the finished product.
Okay, understood. And phosphoric acid price, I understand, for 2Q is around 1250 or maybe 1260, right, sir, a dollar for Indian contract price.
Yeah.
Okay. And so are we or industry are taking price hikes in DAP and NPK to offset this?
No, in DAP is covered under this, you know, price regime. That's why there is no increase of MRP in DAP. But in case of other NPKs, yeah, you know, it is free from this price, you know, regulation. So we have increased the price. The MRP has been increased compared to last quarter.
That was 1st June, right? Last price hike was 1st June, what I understand, right? Or after that, we have increased also in NPK.
No, during this quarter, this has been increased.
Okay, in July month you're talking about, right? How much was the, what was the quantum for this MRP hike in NPK in July month?
I think we have clarified the overall price hike for the NPK. See, what was there last year was around 1470 rupees a bag. And over a period of time, gradually, we currently our average range is between 1400 to 1900 rupees per bag, depending on the product, basically. So N20 has a different price, N10, N12 has a different price. So there is a significant increase that we've taken in line with our RM increase.
Okay. Just giving example, N20, what was the price, maybe the
VFT contract? MRP is around 1400 rupees a bag. Okay. Last year, depending on different price point, it was prevailing between 1200 to 1300 rupees a bag. N10 was 1470 rupees a bag. Currently, N10 price is around 1900 rupees a bag.
Okay, understood. And maybe two bookkeeping questions. I think you have said in the call, I think inventory at a dealer and a wholesaler or retailer level is 6.4 lakhs for us by the end of this quarter, right? Can you break it up in terms of a DAP and NPK?
We can do that, but there are a number of grades of NPK, so I'll give you that as an overall...
In total, NPK total number you can highlight.
Yeah. So currently the trade inventory for DAP overall is around 1,03,000 tons, okay?
Okay.
And complexes five. Would be around 4.3 lakh metric ton approximately.
Understood. And second question, in terms of a gross debt and net debt number by end of June.
Yeah, so the gross debt is, you know, the short-term debt is close to about 4,000 odd crores. Long-term is very minimal, about 500 crores, because there aren't too many CapEx projects, new projects running at the moment. In terms of net debt, you know, I think we are doing a net debt to equity ratio of 0.77 with a 1,200 crores of, you know, cash at hand.
Okay. So it's around 2,800 crores roughly is our net debt number by end of June, right? Yep. Okay, sure. Thanks. Thanks very much and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yathart from IGE India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the result, firstly. Just wanted to ask a small question regarding Nano DAP fertilizers. How do you see Nano DAP fertilizers growing ahead in the market in the next 3 to 4 years compared to NPK?
Good afternoon. We are finding quite a good acceptance for our nano products. Okay, a nano product is a biogenically done nano, and we are seeing the farmers getting a good result with that. Our current volumes have grown in the Q1 significantly, and we see a good traction building up for nano DAP. However, we have to see it in the context. It is not a replacement for the existing DAP or NPK. It's a partial supplementation of the kind of current phosphate application which happens through the nano DAP. And good thing about our nano DAP is that it's got nitrogen also as a built-in this thing. And we see a good response from the farmers and good acceptance.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HT Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, could you give insights into the order book visibility or the demand pipeline for the rest of FY26?
Before I'm just taking this, in terms of the overall guidance, I think we've already indicated that we would be doing 3.1 million ton plus in line with our budgeted numbers. The demand is strong. We are finding good traction for the farmer sales as far as post sales is concerned. And Q2 also should be strong because this is a strong consumption quarter. And we maintain the guidance as far as overall volume of 3.1 million ton plus is concerned for the whole of year.
And the second question is, like, with government subsidy rising, like, how much of your revenue is exposed to delayed subsidy payments?
See, currently we are finding that the payments from the government are happening quite on a timely basis, linked to the post sales. And as long as the farmer sales is happening on time, we are getting a good cash flow as far as subsidy is concerned.
So currently there are no constraints in terms of, you know, getting the receivables from the government. So the subsidy receivable days are pretty much, you know, under 50 actually for us.
Under 50?
Under 50, and the trade receivables are, you know, under 17.
No, sir, you know, subsidy receivables are a little bit higher because of the pause, you know, accumulation. So as of this quarter, subsidy receivable days is around 100 days, and, you know, trade receivable around 30 days.
Okay, thank you, sir. All the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritik Shravak from Nirmal Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. Congratulations on a good set of number. I just want to ask one question, that how much of additional phosphoric acid from expansion will reduce the import, and how much will it add to fertilizer volumes?
No, it depends on the, see, we are adding another 2 lakh ton, and depends on the, you know, type of, you know, NPK, you know, this, you know, product we are going to take. You know, I think mostly we will be doing N20, and, you know, where the requirement is 0.22%.
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but the audio for the management seems to be distant. Can you come a little closer?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
No, what I'm saying that, you know, this 2 lakh ton of, you know, this phosphoric acid what will be adding, that will be consumed for the NPK product, and, you know, depends on this how much percentage of, you know, what are the NPK we are making. And now if you look at, you know, mostly we'll be doing N20 product. So this will give, you know, 2 lakh ton means it will give around one, you know, 9 lakh ton of, you know, N20, which can be converted.
Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajit Sethi from Eco Quantum Solutions. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just need some clarification. Sir, can fertilizer be produced using smelter-grade sulfur? The reason for asking this question is because the sulfur which came out from smelter is of low purity as compared to the sulfur which came out from refining crude or natural gas.
Normally, we prefer actually the refined grade because of purity to avoid most of the operational related issues. Thank you.
Okay. So, next question is, going forward, many of the global refineries will be closing down. So, do we see any shortage of sulfur going forward?
Not really. In fact, our procurement team is working in terms of mapping all the resources. And since we have got a lot of long-term contracts, we don't see any problem in terms of the availability of sulfur. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So, Shinata sir, in the RM price chart that you have shared in the PPT, rock and sulfur price movement is difficult to assess because of high index value of key acid. Can you spell out rock phosphate value in that chart for Q1 and Q4, what we have seen last year?
No, I can take a call. You know, this rock phosphate price, the Q4, it was around $200. Now, I think, you know, the similar terms it is there, you know, in Q4, you know, Q1 of this year also. So, there is no much and change in the Q4 and Q1.
And how was it for sulfuric acid?
Acid actually moved up from, say, about 100 levels in Q4 to current levels of 130 odd.
Okay. And sir, how much was the subsidy received in Q1?
About 1,577 crores.
Okay. And sir, lastly, Harjeep sir, what was the trade inventory in Q1 last year?
Trade inventory in Q1 last year, we were discussing, was around 9.5 lakh metric ton total.
That was for Q4, right?
No, I'm talking of 30th June 2024.
Okay, then how much was it for Q4?
I can, Prashant, share with you that number separately, 31st of March number, right?
Yeah.
Just we compare the quarter to quarter. Quarter to quarter, like I've clarified, from 9.5 lakh, we are currently down to 6.4, 6.5 lakh metric ton. So that way the absolute inventory in the trade has come down because of good onset of monsoon season. So that's a very, very positive thing. That helps the cash flow both on the market front and as far as the subsidy realization.
Yeah. Sir, one last question on the fundamentals of phosphate. DAP, because of government regulation, prices are not able to increase.
Yeah.
And on NPK, we are increasing the price, but by their very nature, the price difference between DAP and NPK is increasing. So the balanced nutrition concept, isn't it going for a toss? And will the market accept such kind of price increase?
So Prashant, what you're saying is absolutely right. What is important is for us to promote balanced nutrition. And in line with our motto of healthier soil, healthier people, our focus is to promote complex fertilizers, which have a combination of nitrogen, phosphorus and potash. And wherever farmers are buying, let's say, a standalone DAP or urea, we are also promoting that they use specialty nutrient as well as potash as a nutrient. But our focus remains on promoting a combination of nutrients, that is NPK. However, there would be certain set of farmers who still would want DAP, and there we promote them to use potash. But you're right, there is a distortion which happens in the market because of a cap on the prices as far as DAP is concerned.
And sir, this is acceptable right now, buying NPK even at higher price vis-a-vis?
Yeah. So if you look at the overall trend, Prashant, that I'm talking of as an industry, you look at the NPK growth which has happened. For the Q1, the NPK growth has been almost 34%, right? Mm-hmm. And the DAP is down by around minus 19%. So partly it is linked to the supply side issues also. However, what is important is that you are finding farmers getting a good acceptance for the NPKs.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I hope I'm audible. First question from my side is on your capacity expansion plan. You are at 100% utilization currently. Can you lay out the expansion plan for FY 26, 27 and 28?
There's a lot of plans are going on. I think we will be able to announce it once the MCFL merger goes on. Currently, the expansion in terms of backward integration is rock solid. 1,500 tons sulfuric acid plant is expected to get commissioned in Q3 beginning, and the phosphoric acid capacity is by September 26. So that gives us enough leverage in terms of managing the cost. And additional PA will definitely get converted to other products.
So, I mean, when you get into the next financial year, given the current status, is it reasonable to infer that you will have further benefits from backward integration, but in terms of output of final tonnage, it may not grow. You may choose to vary the mix basis market and basis backward integration. Is that how it will play out?
There are a lot of operational related, we may not be announcing currently big capex as of now in terms of capacity expansion, but there are a lot of operational capex will also take the expansion plans on a routine basis which goes on. But we will definitely announce the bigger plans once the MCFL merger is done.
Right. And can you possibly also enumerate, synergies with from the MCFL acquisition, and over what time can you realize that?
Yeah, so a couple of pointers here. In terms of the synergies on the revenue side, of course, that gives us an access to markets, important markets, down south. And also in terms of the product mix rationalization, we can do a lot with the existing, size that we have in both Goa and Paradip. And on the cost side, of course, the Mangalore asset can get benefit to the economies of scale and scope, procuring from the kind of partners that we have been procuring. So, there are synergies, very strong synergies on both revenue and the cost side.
Is it possible to enumerate the number and, the time frame over which you can achieve that number?
See, we are in the last stages of the regulatory process, so it should happen anytime now. You can really just kind of keep looking at the website for the update. Okay. And in terms of numbers, it's a listed entity, so I'm sure you can do the math very easily.
Okay, fine. And is it you indicated 6,600 kind of EBITDA per ton for the quarter? Is it possible to if not enumerate, give us some flavor of how it would work out for Paradip versus Goa?
No, we are not giving any unit wise guidance. To be very frank, we work at a company basis, company level. All the numbers at a company level. Having said that, in fact, we will try to kind of a number better than 5,000, which has been the guidance a little on the conservative side from us.
Mm-hmm. Right. And is the gross debt expected to go up further in the coming year? And to what extent, at what level do you intend to sort of cap the gross debt?
See, debt is largely a function of the price of the raw materials, because if you look at the total debt composition, it's largely the working capital debt, and that's a function of the raw material prices. So depending upon how the RM prices move, the debt will kind of improve or decrease. But more or less, we believe that it should be near about this level.
Okay. Even if you announce further capacity expansion, you don't believe.
That is separate. We would not like to cross a bridge at the moment. Let us complete the merger, and we'll announce the larger plans.
Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take this as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking the time to join us today and for your continued trust in our journey. Should you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to our investor relations team. Thanking you again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.